Let's prepare our hearts today. We are going to continue our series on sin. It's everything you wanted to know about sin, but was ashamed to ask. And many times in our life, you and I make the mistake of underestimating the devastating consequences that sin can have in our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we can have a tendency to grade ourselves on the curve. And what I mean by that, we can always find somebody else that's worse off than we are so that we can look better to ourselves. And what that is I feel it's a self-protection mechanism that we impose in our lives so that we don't have to deal with our problems. Now, this isn't going to be too much of a heavy message today, but it might be a little bit. I commend you for coming out. Usually when you advertise you're preaching on sin, people stay away. You know, that's just the way it is, and maybe I shouldn't put it on Facebook what we're going to be talking about sometimes, but I do. I want us to understand today, you know, that we all know already, is that God has a better plan for us, and He knows our weaknesses, but He also knows our strength, and our strength is in Christ, our Redeemer. We're going to look at that. Now, a little bit of review, just to jump into it here. The first week that we jumped into this, we talked about the idea of progression of sin in our life, and we looked at that in James chapter 1. And to me, that's a powerful passage. It kind of puts things in perspective, because sometimes you and I, we blame God. We think God maybe did that to us or made us this way, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. But James talks about the idea of how it comes from temptation. Then it goes to lust in our lives, and once it goes from lust, it can go to sin, and then after sin, it brings death. Now, the drawback with a lot of people is when they sin, they don't die immediately. If they died immediately, I think God would have a quick audience, don't you think? But it doesn't work that way. It's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about being separated from God, and that's something that we need to deal with. Then last week, we jumped back in Genesis chapter 3, and we looked at the idea of how sin was also progressive in Eve's life. When first she noticed the fruit, and then she started to really look at it. She focused her attention on it. And then it delighted her, and then she developed an appetite for it. And after she developed that appetite for it, then she desired it. And that means her senses were aroused. And see, that's what we got to be careful of, because that's what the enemy wants to do in our life. He wants to arouse our senses, our senses that are in enmity with God, to try to get us to go for sin. I ain't going to lie to you, a lot of sin is fun. Just full disclosure. You guys know it. We've all done it probably. You know, unless there's somebody perfect here. Don't think so. Anyway, you know, so some sin is fun, but it brings death later on. And see, that's what we need to understand and be aware of. So after she desired it, she was aroused to it. We all also looked at last week of how Satan came on the scene there, and he tried to divide Eve from God. And that's the enemy's job in our life, is that he wants to try to divide us and separate us from God. He made her think that God was holding out something good for her, and that made her want it all the more. And it really caused her to focus. If you think about it, you know, there was only one tree in the whole garden she wasn't supposed to eat of. There was trees everywhere she could have ate from. But because of that temptation, the way Satan produced it and projected it to her, it made her only look at what she couldn't have. And see, that's what happens in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we forget all the great things we have, and we look at the one thing that we don't have, and we become obsessed with it. And then we go down that road and it leads us away. But the good news is we didn't leave you there last week, amen? We looked at 1 Corinthians 10:13, and God made a promise to you and I. And that promise was the fact that He'll always be there to help us to overcome the temptation. Does it mean that you and I will never probably ever sin again? No. But I do believe that you and I, if we choose to use God's Word and be able to walk in God's wisdom with God's ability and power in our life, I don't believe we have to stumble as much as we do. I believe we can start to get to the place where we start to see successive victories in our life. And we start to beat the devil back and keep him out of our lives and out of our families. Okay, we're going to pick up today where in Genesis chapter 3, and we left off at verse 7 last week. We're going to start there in verse 7, and we're going to go to verse 13 today. We're going to talk about something that a certain percentage of us deal with in a heavy matter today, but also I believe everybody deals with it a little bit, and that's shame. And how shame comes into our life to tries to separate us. Now, verse 7 says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for the anointing that's here. Lord, the gift that you put inside him, I use it for your glory and not my own. I thank you, Lord, for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. I thank you for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of purpose. We bind up the devil, any distraction, any way he tries to steal the word out of our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for the good things just being revealed to us today and how we can live a victorious life on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want to see today is innocence lost. And that's really what happened that day in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve walked in a level of innocence with God that we can't really understand this side of glory. Because we deal with the sin nature in our life today. Every one of us has to battle with that. What happened that day is one action, just that one action of disobedience and rebellion, brought death into mankind. Adam and Eve was created to live forever in God's glory. But yet, with that one action, they brought death into their lives. And with that death, a lot of different things. Now, Adam and Eve in the beginning were clothed in a sense of righteousness, right standing with God. And that's something that you and I really don't understand to some degree, because when we're right with God, everything is right in the world, in our world. And they walked in this innocence and in this glory with the Father. And they spent time with Him. And what we fail to realize, it's a state of being. Now, granted, you and I can get there to some degree, this side of glory, as we start to walk by faith instead of living by sight. You know what I mean? Because we live by sight and we look and we judge ourselves by this world standard and everything around us. And that's going to lead us down the path of destruction. But when we start to really live by faith and start to see what the Word says about us and what God says about us and how much He loves us and cares for us, it'll change the way that we view ourselves. The problem that we have is we have the wrong image in our mind of who we are and what we have. And we have to turn that around. And once we do that, we'll get to the place where we start to walk in authority again and start to walk in victory. Remember, Adam and Eve had all authority. God says, all authority has been given to you. Amen. And He gave it away when He chose to rebel against God. And we're here, bit by bit and piece by piece, bringing that authority back into God's kingdom, in a sense, where we start to walk it out. Now, we get to the place that we're more God-conscious than sin-conscious, then we're going to start to see the changes in our life. Now, what happened is that their eyes were opened. Now, the knowledge of good and evil brought death instead of the power that Satan had promised them. He promised them power, and what they got was death. And see, they were never meant to have that kind of information, evidently. And it's an ironic to me that in their effort to be like God, they gave up the fact they were made in God's image already. God said, let us make man in our image. They were already in the image of God. They walked in innocence. They walked in His glory. They were clothed with His righteousness. They walked around naked and never even knew it. Until they partook of something they were not supposed to have. And that brought death. It opened their eyes to something they was never meant to see. And as we start to understand that in our lives and the things that maybe we partake of, some things that bring death in our life, then we'll start to be better informed to overcome these things. You and I are most like God when we walk in innocence. When we walk in that innocence that God had pre-made for us to have. Now, this information that they received from that tree, the revelation that they got, it started to open their eyes to some things that they didn't understand. And what it was is for the first time in their life, they felt shame. See, when we're born as a baby, we have no shame. No shame. Babies running around naked don't bother them a bit, don't they? Shame comes later when they start to understand or they look at things in a different way. Now, I'm not promoting that we all run around naked just to prove a point. Amen? You know, I think clothes are good, and, you know, I think we need to keep everything covered that needs to be covered. But for the point of reference here is the fact that this, the thing that they were exposed to when they partook of that tree, it now poisoned their thinking. Their thinking's poisoned, just like your and my thinking is poisoned. It's poisoned by information that brings death to our life and that God wants to bring us out of and bring us back into right standing. So instead of thinking the best, a lot of times you and I think the worst. Now I have permission to share this story. The story's of a 17-year-old teenager. And for whatever reason, they had sex for the first time. Out of marriage, of course. And when they went home, they took a shower because they felt so dirty. They felt that shame. See, he was told by, this was a boy. He said they were told by his friends that to do this, you had to do this to become a man. And when they did it, they felt so dirty. Innocence was lost that night. Because they did something that violated their conscience. They believed the lie. They ate from the wrong tree and believed that this is what makes you a man? I don't think so. But see, that's what happens when we start to live like the world. The world has certain sets of standards that tries to make us believe a certain way is the right way, and all it does is bring death. Well, we know after Adam and Eve felt shame in their life, the big cover-up came. They went and got the leaves. And their immediate response to the problem of their nakedness and shame was to try to deal with it themselves. And really, that's what you and I a lot of times do when we fall short of God's glory, or maybe we have entered into some things that violates our conscience. We try to cover up. We try to hide it. We don't want anybody to see our problem. We don't want anybody to see the things that we're dealing with. And as they tried to hide it, what they did is they tried to solve a spiritual problem with a fleshly solution. And when we do that, it doesn't really work. So no matter, even though they covered up, people, they covered up. They covered the nakedness. But still, they felt the shame because they could not go into the presence of God because of that shame. No matter how many fig leaves, how big the fig leaves were, or how many layers, it still could not take the shame away. Nothing that you and I can do will ever take our shame away that we can do in the natural. You know, the old saying, out of sight, out of mind, didn't work, did it? Why? Because the shame is on the inside. That's where it came from. The shame is something that's on the inside that only God can really deal with. So no matter what we do, you and I try to do to cover up our shame, it always bleeds through, like if you're painting a wall. If somebody puts a mark on a wall that, you know, let's say if you use a magic marker and you try to cover it just with paint, You know, it may look like it covers, but when it dries, that marker mark is going to bleed right through. You can't deal with it that way. That's why they made the Kills paint, right? Kills covers it. And see, that's what the blood of Jesus does in our life. It kills the sin, in a sense. It covers, it destroys it. It doesn't just cover it, it deals with it. So after that, you know, the big cover-up and what they did and the innocence lost, we got into the shame game. Now, I want to talk about shame for a moment, and I'm going to hopefully share a few things that we can deal with, because I believe all of us deal with a sense of shame from time to time, because we fall short of God's glory. Now, we don't want it to get to shame, because there's a difference between guilt and shame. We're going to look at that. Now, shame, what it does, it brings a sense of unworthiness in our life, and that causes us to try to hide from God. Now, the old joke I always say is, you know, God is the last person you'd ever want to play hide and seek with, because he can find you every time. He knows where we're at. He knows everything. But nevertheless, we think we can hide things from God. How stupid are we sometimes? Think about it. That's what shame does. Shame thinks it can hide things, and that's how we get perverted in our mind to start looking at things wrong. So this shame brings that sense of unworthiness. Now, the difference between guilt and shame, now guilt is a feeling that we've done something wrong. Anybody ever had that? We all have, haven't we? We've done something wrong, and all of a sudden, ooh, feel a little icky on the inside. I did something. May have to make this right. Whether it's repentance or apologize, whatever the case may be, but you know, you feel guilty about something. But shame's a little different. Shame, what it is the fact that shame says there's something wrong with me. It has nothing to do about what you've done. There's something wrong with me. And when we feel shame and we think there's something wrong with me, it colors and causes us to look at the world in a totally different light. We feel inferior. We feel we don't fit in. We feel that, you know, nobody really loves me. You know, it deals a lot in the area of acceptance and things like this and being able to straighten those things out and whether God really loves us. And what I do feel about that is that, you know, guilt says it's my fault and shame says I am fault. And the root of shame is really, I think it stems from acceptance issues and insecurity issues. And a lot of young people have to deal with this, and us adults, I think we do from time to time. But I think we've learned how to deal with that sort of pain, and we cover it up in a lot of different ways, a lot easier than maybe some young people because they're new to it. You know, but nevertheless, that shame is there, and it's something that, you know, we need to deal with the fact that, you know, when I got the revelation that really how much God loved me, that God really wasn't against me and trying to keep me out of heaven, you know, in the sense, but he really wanted to accept me in, and he loved me, and that acceptance there, it was so refreshing. It just changed my whole perspective on life and God. Because all of a sudden now, I was part of the family. I wasn't just somebody that felt like the black sheep of the family. I became the white sheep of the family. Amen? Because I was washed by his blood. And I was now, you know, in the good graces of God. So what happens in our life is that shame will gain power when we identify with our sin as being who we are. I want to stop here for a moment and think about that. When we identify with the sin in our life as really who we are, then that's what we think we are, and that's what we think we're always going to be. And how that works is the fact is that we kind of end up settling and we don't think that we can ever get out of this situation and out of this circumstance. And if you watch people and watch sometimes their lifestyle and their choices they make, you can tell if they're struggling with their own self-image by some of the choices that they make in life that leads them down that path of destruction. They choose the wrong, maybe, mate, or they choose the wrong set of friends, or they choose all these things, and it causes them, it brings a little bit of sense of a security because everybody wants to be accepted. What it does is we need to understand, if we get to the place where we understand that God accepts us, it's going to change that whole dynamic in our life. and help us along the process to get there to where we need to be. Now, the big lie that Satan tries to bring in our life is that God made you that way. God made you that way. I'm going to just mention one. You know, prostitution. What would you tell a prostitute if they come up to you and said, God made me this way? Would you believe them? Do you believe God would make them a prostitute? Or do you think that was a choice they made, rather from a lie or whatever the case may be? Well, I don't believe anybody here would agree that God made them a prostitute. Number one, the Bible talks, if you want to learn about what sin really is, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and read through that list. And Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mentioned what sin was, and he says, this is what you were, but you're not that no more. Totally new identity. Totally changed their perspective. Because when we come and I remember when I was first coming to Christ and I knew that I wasn't quite right yet. You know what I'm saying? I went to church. I was hungry enough. I knew there was life there. And I knew I needed something to change my life because I'd tried so many times to fix myself. But I could never quite get it right. Until that day, I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And I submitted myself to Him. And then that made the change in my life. You know, I didn't go to that church demanding them to accept me in the sense of, you know, I'm this is what I am, and I'm always going to be this way. I'm a beer-drinking womanizer. You guys got to accept me as I am. How dare you judge me? I kept my mouth shut. I slid in, and I slid out. Until finally the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And He changed my life. I went there because I had a need. I knew I needed something. And the shame in my life of me being exposed to some of the things I had been involved with, I couldn't shake those things because it was in the back of my head all the time. And knowing that I wasn't raised like that, but yet I did that. And then finally coming into the realm when Jesus Christ totally changed me and I became born again and I got the fresh start. See, then all that stuff in 1 Corinthians 6. Now, I'm not saying I haven't sinned since. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I don't identify myself with that old person no more. I don't want to be those things. I may stumble from time to time in certain areas, but that's not who I am. I am a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. And I don't identify with the fact of this old life that I used to be. And once you start to get that revelation and we start to see that, that's when the process really starts to change, because the big lie that started me off this path, or this talk here, was the idea of the big lies when we believe God made us this way, is when we do that, we shift the responsibility for our actions to God instead of ourselves. And if we do that, we'll never get free. Because the shame game is always going to be there. Now, shame, like we see in Genesis, it causes us to try to cover up them fleshly endeavors. You know, I see a lot of people, you know, coming to Christ or trying to get there, and when they're not quite there yet, they start to get into works righteousness. They start to get into the area where if I do this and do that and help with this and help with that, that's going to help me to get closer to God. No, that's not how it works. We should do those because we are a Christian. We don't do that to get God to notice us. God already noticed us. He picked us. He chose us. He wants us to come into relationship with Him. So then we, by doing that, we try to gain that self-worth by things that we do, instead of just being who God called us to be and who we are. So there's a lot of times we try to cover up with religious things to earn God's love and acceptance. And God wants to set us free from that. He wants us to be delivered He doesn't want us to walk with that nagging sense in our mind that we're of shame in our life, and that we identify with that old nature. Now, after we got from the shame game, now we're going to look at the blame game. Because this is another way that you and I deal with shame. Aren't you glad you came today? Amen. You know, to hear all this good news. We're going to get to some better news in a minute. Adam blamed Eve, like all good husbands, right? Have you ever blamed your wife, husband? We all have. That's just the way it works. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Men blame their wives, or wives blame the kids. You know, it's just trickle down. Poor kids, they ain't got a break, do they? Who do they blame? The dog, I guess. But that's what happens. We try to cover up our sin by blaming others. And if we figure it out, figure we can point out their problems, you know, it'll make people look at them and not us. You know, that's what a lot of people backbiting do. You know what I mean? Oh, did you see so-and-so? They got this splinter in their eye, but I got this log in mine. But don't look at mine. Look at them. If my boss would pay me more, I wouldn't have to steal from him. Right? That's justification, isn't it? If they just pay me more, I wouldn't have to steal this stuff. The blame game. We blame others. But that blame, what I found, it doesn't deal with the shame, but it makes it worse, because it just compiles the problem over and over and over in our life. I found that no matter how many people I've stepped on in my life, I've never gotten any closer to God. You know? No matter how many people you step on, no matter how many people you step on to think you get closer, it doesn't work that way. There's only one way. Only one way to deal with shame. And that's God's solution. Let's turn, and that's when blood was shed. Let's turn Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Isaiah 53 should be a familiar passage with many of us. Hallelujah. It says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." A lot of time we look at that and we think about physical healing, because, you know, we believe that God does heal bodies, and amen for that. But I believe also God will heal our soul. It says well-being, talking about peace. I think the Hebrew there was shalom. Talking about we need the peace in our life. If we have shame in our life, we have no peace, because we feel so bad about ourselves. But I want us to see today that also shame was nailed to the cross just as much as cancer or heart disease or anything like that. Jesus took shame to the cross. And he went to the cross to save you and I, so we can be set free from those things, so we can be who he's called us to be. I believe God's called us to have inner peace instead of inner pain. There's a lot of times in our life we deal with this pain in our life, and we try to suppress it with, you know, different things, whether it be people or drugs or alcohol or overworking. We do all these things to try to cover up, to deal with this pain inside. That if it gets a little quiet for a minute, then we have to hear ourselves and think about ourselves. But Jesus came to give us inner peace. Because I know in my life I tried to find peace in a lot of different places. But I couldn't find it until I found Jesus. And then what I figured out is he wasn't the one lost. I was. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. And that's through the blood of Jesus. Yes, I know we stumble. Yes, I know we make mistakes, sometimes daily, if not hourly. There'll be days like that, won't they? But if we get to the place where we continually start to see ourselves as God sees us, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us in a new light. And that's how we need to get to the place where we see ourselves, where we don't see ourselves as an old sinner, some dirty old sinner, I remember the old story of a guy who got saved. He went to a church and the guy was preaching, and he preached about, "You dirty old sinner, you need to get saved." So he went up that day and he got saved. The next week he went back and the preacher was saying, "You dirty old sinner," again. I said, "Hey, that was last week. What am I now?" We need to see that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a new life. It's a new day. It's a fresh start. Remember that one action in the garden that brought death? Well, it took one action at the cross to bring life. That one action. When Jesus Christ, who was innocent, went to the cross and he paid the price. By his stripes, you were healed. Not going to be healed. You were healed. We need to get to the place where we're starting to see things that it's been dealt with, not going to be dealt with. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's who Jesus made me. Not by actions of my own, but all I had to do was yield by faith and give my life to Jesus Christ. And I surrender. I surrender all. No matter how many fig leaves I've tried to make in my life, none of them would cover my shame. But there's only one thing that dealt with my shame, and that was the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he set me free, the Bible says, "He who the Son has set free is free indeed." And there is nothing in this world that compares with freedom. Let's pray.